insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
This is the famous footwear that makes us actually want to go back to school with the newest styles from all your favorite brands like Nike, Adidas, Crocs, Converse, New Balance, Birkenstock, and more. You'll find everything kids want, all at prices parents can appreciate, because you don't have to overspend to make it famous. Famous Footwear even has fit experts in store to make sure you get the right size every time. So for the perfect fit, make it famous. Plus, right now, buy one, get one half off when you shop your local Famous Footwear or famous.com. Some exclusions apply.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. GOP nominee Donald Trump at the Arizona southern border this hour, blaming the Biden-Harris administration for the migrant crisis. It comes hours before Kamala Harris makes history as the first black woman to accept a major party nomination for president at the Democratic National Convention. ABC's Mary Alice Parks is in Chicago.
She's going to talk about being the daughter of an immigrant, but of course then she has to turn to policy. I mean, she's going to talk about what she wants to do if she wins a term in the White House. They're framing this, of course, as how Democrats wanting to lower costs for Americans, prescription drugs, housing. They're going to say that's in sharp contrast to what former President Trump wants to do.
Divers off the coast of Sicily ending search efforts for the day, looking for the body of one more victim from Monday's sunken superyacht. Crews recovered 5 bodies earlier. Jobless claims ticked up last week. 4,000 more Americans filing for first-time claims than the week before. Overall, unemployment remains historically low. This is ABC News. There is a new world's oldest person.
The death of 117-year-old Maria Brañas in Spain led to a search by Gerontology Research Group, which validates age details of those 110 years old and older. They have found that Japan's Tomiki Itoka is now the oldest person on Earth at age 116. She lives in a nursing home in southeastern Japan, where they held a birthday party for her last month. Tomiki enjoys a yogurt drink in the mornings and loves to eat bananas. When she was told she's now the oldest person in the world, her response was, "Thank you." Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The family of a Michigan teen is suing a Detroit judge after he ordered her handcuffed when she recently fell asleep during a field trip. Attorneys for 15-year-old Eva Goodman accused Judge Kenneth King of humiliation, false arrest, and unlawful detention. He was temporarily taken off the bench to receive training. Eva's mother says her daughter was likely tired because their family does not have a permanent home. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off Duration products and SuperDeck stains from August 23rd through the 26th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. The Wisconsin School District has been operating at a deficit for the last 3 years.
A letter sent Tuesday to families in the Monona Grove School District says the deficit was only discovered after a review of district finances by new superintendent Tanya Frederick. The Madison Area District's board has taken responsibility, but board president Elizabeth Cook says members were unaware of any problems until the review was done in July. Cook says the board violated several of its own policies by allowing spending going to go unchecked. Over the last 3 years, $7.9 million of the district's fund balance has been used, leaving just $2.5 million, or 4% of the operating budget. That's far short of the 15 to 25% of the district budget required by board policy. There is no evidence that district money was used by anyone for personal gain. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Residents in the Thomas School District will be asked to vote on a massive referendum this fall.
The school board voted Monday to put a $177 million spending increase on the fall election ballot. That money would go towards a new high school, converting existing schools into a middle school and elementary school, and renovations and improvements. School administrators say the upgrades will keep the district operating in the long term and that people were receptive to the plan this spring. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A former Wisconsin Rapids school counselor will serve prison time for child sexual assault.
A Wood County judge sentenced Christopher Bundy only to 3 years in prison and 4 years on extended supervision. The 54-year-old was found guilty of child enticement, sexual contact, and sexual assault of a student by school staff after pleading no contest to the charges earlier this spring as part of a plea deal. He's also been ordered to pay court costs and restitution to the victim, who did read an impact statement during Tuesday's sentencing. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The sunshine just won't stop, with high temperatures slamming into the upper 70s. Clouds increase tonight, with chances of spotty showers or some storms early tomorrow morning. Otherwise, we'll become mostly sunny, with high temperatures rising right back to the upper 70s. Still owe the IRS? Call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Well, hello. We've got a lot to talk about here today on AOA. Thank you for joining us once again as we talk about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up here on our show today, in segment two, we're going to talk with South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson. It's been a little while since we've talked with the congressman, so we're going to look forward to that conversation coming up here. A host of different topics we want to talk about with Congressman Johnson coming up here in segment two. Segment three, we're going to recap the American Coalition for Ethanol Conference that was held earlier in the month of August in Omaha. It was a very well-attended event, a lot of activity there. Ron Lamberti with ACE going to join us for a conversation coming up here in segment three. And then in segment four, we're going to get an update on the Canadian rail strike as of midnight Thursday morning, 12:01 Eastern time. Both Canadian National and Canadian Pacific Kansas City have locked out union members, some 9,000 employees, effectively stopping freight rail service north of the border, and could have huge implications on here in the U.S. on ag and a lot of different things. Sean Haney with Real Ag Radio is going to join us in segment four for an update on the situation there in Canada. So a lot to get to here today on the show. Let's talk markets first. Jacob Burks with AgMarket.net is with us here today. Jacob, thanks for being here, my friend. And, you know, thinking about that Canadian rail strike, that might be a decent place for us to start. Maybe seeing a little impact in this grain trade on Thursday early. What do you think about that and that whole situation? That could be some pretty big impacts here across agriculture, Jacob.
Yeah, I'll definitely be tuning in on segment four to hear what Sean has to say on that. But I think that definitely has it will not seem to be an immediate impact. I think that's going to be a long-term trickle-down effect as far as what we're looking at with how wheat's flowing across there, how you look at they're the third largest importer of ag goods, right, in Canada. So yeah. That's going to be a huge – and it even stems down into what's going down to the Gulf, what's going down to Mexico. So I would love to be the expert on it, but I'm going to tune in to listen to the expert on that. But as far as what we need to prepare for, it's not positive. And look what the wheat market's doing today. I think that's a direct result of the decisions that were made here last night.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And hopefully we can get some resolution there soon. That's one thing we're watching. I know we got crop tours and more going on this week. And that's been a lot of chatter on social media. The row crop markets this week, quarter beans, have been fairly quiet. I know we're showing a little bit of red Thursday at the trade, but it's been fairly benign. It almost feels like the prospect of these big crops in the U.S. has maybe been priced into some degree in the row crops, Jacob.
Definitely. I mean, if the market has not had its head in the sand regarding that's a big crop out there. So it's a real big crop out there. And I think that story has been told over and over and over again. That I think the market was really had their fingers crossed that we would see something that come through the Pro Farmer Tour, you know, the most popular tour out there. But there's a ton of different ones. But the Pro Farmer Tour would tell us, hey, maybe there is some leaching problem with nitrogen. Maybe there is some type of too many holes in the fields, and maybe there, you know, maybe there was some type of problem out there that we just didn't see when we got in there. And I think it's I love tours. I think it's a great idea of what could be on there. You're putting boots on the ground. You're actually going out there and doing a scientific research, not just driving by the fields to look at it. But inevitably, it doesn't have the coverage that the combine has, right? And so you start looking at some of these results and some of these numbers, and you got to take a little bit of grain of salt and just generalize it. And I love what they do to give us an idea of, hey, we're usually this far behind, so this is what we project that the yields are going to be. But when you look at it and you boil it down, you look every night when they come in to show their summary, man, you got to shake your head and wonder, how big is this crop in Illinois? How big is this crop in Iowa right now? It looks really, really big.
Yeah. With that in mind, what do we need to think about in terms of risk management here in this window? I know we've seen plenty of old crop movement. There's still a lot out there, though, it sounds like. But then, you know, new crop marketing as well, things like that. I mean, any risk management thoughts from your perspective here for farmers on the grain side right now?
Oh, yeah, I think it's the hardest question to answer right now is, well, what do I do now? And that's something that you don't like to hear, you don't like to deal with, but there is that's where we're at, and how do you address it? I will say that looking at these analog years, we've talked a lot about 2014. You even go into next year's 2025. So in both cases, a producer still has to look at risk management at this point, whether it's this year, what he has either in the bin, what he has in the field, or maybe even what he plans on growing next year. There's a lot of things that we can do. I look at like 2000 comparing 2000 November 25 corn or beans, November 25 soybeans to November 15 beans. You look at that, when we broke through those lows, we didn't even get an opportunity to get back to where we broke through the lows at. So that's something to look at. Not every year is the same. There's no 2 years alike, but there's enough correlation here that says, hey, maybe I need to go ahead and look at some type of put protection. Just get some. You know, there's enough opportunity out there with short dated options. That you can get a decent floor in there that will at least protect you from the what could be. And I look at the, you know, even this year's soybeans, this year's corn, we have an opportunity that we could see 350 or below in the 24 corn. We have an opportunity to see, you know, sub $9 beans. That's a possibility, and it's enough of a possibility that you need to address it with some put options.
All right. We're talking with Jacob Burks from AgMarket.net. Jacob, before we run out of time, let's talk livestock. I know it's been a real tough couple of sessions in the cattle market. We got a cattle on feed report coming up on Friday. Are you concerned that maybe the top is in cattle futures? I know there's still some disconnect between cash and futures, but what's your take on the cattle trade right now?
Well, the cattle trade, first of all, I think you're going to end up probably seeing tomorrow a potential record short position in the feeder cattle. You're going to see we've been gotten used to the funds backing off of their long positions. What if they decide to go short in the cattle? So that's a real possibility. If you remember this time last year or going into the fall, we saw the big sell off. Markets get tired, and no matter how few a cattle we have, no matter how strong the demand is right now, there's a point to where traders get tired of trading it. And I think the biggest thing for the producer, I think the eye opener right now, is whenever you go back and you look at the weekly or monthly chart on the livestock, on the live cattle, you look back at where we've been and where we're at and what this rally has been on a long-term basis. There's still a lot of room for this market to fall off. I do believe that even when you just boil it down to like the cattle on feed, yes, we're going to have probably a little bit bigger place. We're anticipating bigger placements, about the same on feed. But you got to realize a year ago we were a lot lighter. Okay, so that number, the actual numbers may not be as bearish as what we're seeing at face value. So look at it from a long-term perspective. These markets can get tired, and I do feel like risk management is extremely key right here at this point.
Jacob, good stuff as always. If folks want to reach out to you guys for a conversation, I know you have a lot of resources online, phone call, et cetera. How can folks get in touch with you?
I just call us, look up at agmarket.net. All of our phone numbers there, and we'll see you at Farm Progress next week.
Yeah, we will see you at Farm Progress Show coming up next week. With that, Jacob Burks from agmarket.net. Always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for being with us on AOA today.
Thanks for having me, Jesse.
All right. Coming up next, we are going to have a conversation with South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson. Get an update on what's the prospects for a farm bill even after the election. It doesn't sound like it's looking good. We're going to get some updates there and talk about a few other issues as well. We'll talk with Dusty Johnson coming up next on AOA Agriculture of America. Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Hey, I'm Reba McEntire. In life, you'll hear a lot of people tell you that you can do anything you want. I'm here to tell you that's true. Since I was a little girl, I dreamed of becoming a successful singer and entertainer. It took a lot of hard work, dedication, and perseverance to find my success, but it was worth it. I never gave up on my dreams. Remember, you can never have a dream come true until you've had a dream. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Joining us now, it's good to talk with him again. It's been a little too long, but I know it's been busy a couple of months in Washington, D.C. Congressman Dusty Johnson from South Dakota joins us here on the show. Congressman, it's good to talk with you again. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Isn't it always a busy few months in Washington? Even when we're not getting anything done, there's sure a lot of howling at the moon.
Yeah, I would say that's a good way to put it. We got a few different things to talk about here. I should ask you real quick, kind of the news of the day is this Canadian rail strike. And I know in particular, the Dakotas, Minnesota, there could be a lot of potential impacts with this rail strike and the stoppage here. And we hope it gets resolved soon, but I know a lot of American ag groups have been talking about this and calling on a resolution. Is there something that the U.S. government could do or should do to try and get the Canadian government involved? Because the potential impacts here sound pretty devastating for North American trade.
Yeah, first off, I would say it is devastating, particularly for the states you mentioned. I mean, in South Dakota, 60% of our soybeans are sold overseas. That really all gets swept up toward the Pacific Northwest. A lot of that traffic goes through Canada. And frankly, a work stoppage is a big, big problem, not just for South Dakota, but a lot of states. Our American government wouldn't have a lot of hard power. We wouldn't have a lot of things that we could force or mandate. We do have a fair amount of soft power or persuasive power in trying to call on the Canadian government to do everything they can to make sure this is resolved appropriately. These work stoppages, it's hard to overstate their impact, and not just in the short term, but also relatively long term, particularly when you're talking about international markets. If those folks can't rely on American goods, they will look elsewhere, and I just hate to give Brazil any kind of competitive advantage.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts there. We're gonna watch this situation closely, and hopefully we can get a resolution. Let's talk farm bill. I know this is something that we have really talked in circles about here for months, trying to get a new 5-year farm bill done. The 1-year extension runs out here in just a matter of weeks. And there's been a lot of talk that, of course, we're probably going to need another extension. And then there's a prospect out there of maybe getting this done in the lame duck after the election. What's the latest in terms of farm bill? Is that realistic to get something done after the election?
It really comes down to Chair Stabenow. If she released text and started to build some bipartisan consensus around that, the Senate could move relatively quickly. Now, it would probably mean they wouldn't get a lot of amendments on the Senate floor. That's going to irritate a few senators. That might cost them a few votes or slow them down a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, the Senate can act quickly when they really, really want to. The issue is we don't have enough time to go to conference committee. Now, admittedly, the House, we have done our work. We released text a long time ago. We marked it up in committee. We passed it out of committee on a bipartisan basis. But listen, the Senate's not going to take our work product lock, stock, and barrel. There are going to be some profound differences, probably in the nutrition title most acutely, that we're going to have to work out, and that's going to take a little time. So I would say this. If Chair Stabenow can move something in September, we absolutely have the ability to finish this before the end of the year. If she doesn't, I just don't know how we could get it all done.
Well, and it's something, too, that I know when we think about the overall ag economy picture, we can kind of rope that into our discussion here. There's been a lot of talk from folks throughout the ag industry just with some of this down cycle. And we've seen all the layoffs, of course, and things like that. And that's a whole separate issue. But there's been talk about, you know, getting reference prices updated and the need for a farm bill, and that it might not necessarily be the magic bullet, so to speak, to help out. But considering, you know, we're on 6 years of a 5-year farm bill that was done in 2018, and just this overall picture, it really, I think, speaks to the importance to get something done correctly in a timely manner, right?
Exactly right. The biggest change between now and 6 or 7 years ago is absolutely linked to input costs. And that's why we got to make sure the reference prices in those Title I programs are realistic. Of course, the House Ag Committee passed Farm Bill does that. We have some pretty substantial increases in reference price. The smallest of them would be corn. I think that's 11%. Some of them are more than 20%. It's just a much better reflection of what the actual cost of production is. And when you get prices so low that it can cause systemic failure through farm country. So we really, really need to get that accomplished.
We are talking with South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson here today on AOA. And Congressman, I know August recess going on. You've been back home in South Dakota. I know Wednesday you spent time at Dakota Fest in Mitchell, and sad I couldn't be there with you this year. What have you been hearing from constituents, say, at Dakota Fest or around the state here in the last few weeks? What are their big concerns? Is it farm bill? Is it other issues? Is it the ag economy? What are you hearing from folks?
Oh, I'd say it falls into two buckets. I mean, bucket one is pretty standard farm show talk, people talking about whether there's been enough rain, when Washington is just generally going to get their act together with farm policy. That's very, very standard. I mean, they're important conversations, don't get me wrong. It just it is not particularly unique to this year's Dakota Fest. The second bucket has largely to do with non-farm issues. I mean, people got most worked up still when they were talking about the border and inflation. Now, are people quite as concerned as they were 6 months ago, 12 months ago? No, but there's still a very real concern. And they're just befuddled. They do not understand why Washington has not in a more forceful way been willing to address inflation and the border. And you get some pretty specific conversations about policy ideas. I mean, obviously, these men and women are not just farmers. They're not just ranchers. They're also citizens who love their country and, frankly, want us to get our act together.
It's I've heard some of those same conversations, too. And I think in terms of rural America, it's not just agriculture, Congressman. It's issues like the border you mentioned. There's so many different things that folks throughout the countryside in rural America that they are really concerned about the impact on their small town communities in many areas.
That's exactly right. And of course, when we're talking about the border, you know, we're not just talking about people, although 7.5 million people is a lot of people. I mean, we're also talking about just last year, 27,000 pounds of fentanyl. I think most people have some concept of the fact that fentanyl is just pure evil. It doesn't take very much to kill a whole neighborhood. 27,000 pounds is a lot. And America has a real addiction problem. Of course, it's not just fentanyl. It's meth. It's been alcohol for a long time before that. But fentanyl and meth are particularly pernicious. They're particularly dangerous. And the problem at the southern border, I mean, the drugs are coming in a different place and in a different time than the people are coming in. But when you're directing all of these resources toward the people, you are leaving a gap at the ports of entry. You are making it harder to do drug interdiction work. And you're absolutely, I mean, rural America is really struggling with meth and fentanyl. It's killing 100,000 Americans a year. Securing the southern border would absolutely help.
We have about a minute here, sir. One other thing I wanted to ask you about, the Congressional Sustainable Aviation Caucus. I know you're involved with that. Obviously, SAF, we're waiting on some of the Treasury stuff from that, but a big avenue here, a big opportunity for farmers. What's your thoughts on how that caucus can help advance SAF use?
I am a big, big believer in the opportunity for this ag-based aviation fuel. That's why I'm the congressional co-chair. I really believe in it. I mean, you think about the renewable fuel standards on the ethanol side. I mean, we fight and claw with the oil guys every year over 16 billion gallons. And sometimes just on the tiniest margins about whether or not that RFS number should go up or down or who gets small refiner waivers or not. The sustainable aviation fuel market dwarfs all of that fight. And here's what I mean. The global aviation fuel use is $200 billion a year. Now, let's say that half of that is a good fit for ag-based aviation fuel, and you're down to $100 billion. Let's say that America could lay claim to about a third of that market. We've got really good technology. We certainly have the feedstock. We could do that. That's 33 billion gallons a year, or twice what we're doing today in biofuels. And it's a massive market that I think is absolutely going to develop, provided We're focused, and we make the right investments. And so I am a big fan of sustainable aviation.
Well, we could talk for another half hour, but we're up against the clock. Got to let you go. South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson, always a great conversation, sir. Thanks for joining us on AOA today.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Ron Lamberti from the American Coalition for Ethanol next on AOA.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, September milk down 69 to 21.92. October down the 75-cent limit to 22.10. November down 64 to 21.23. December milk down 25 to 20.10. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets and hogs all had triple-digit gains today. Live cattle moved higher due to higher box-to-beef prices, and that had traders willing to jump back into the markets. The strength in live cattle spread to feeder cattle. Hog markets were higher even though it was a poor export inspections report at a marketing year low, but the pork cutout values were higher, and that supported prices. August live cattle up $1.32 to $182.55. August feeder cattle up $2.72 to $241.97. October hogs up $3.47 to $79.62. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all mostly lower. Corn and beans moving lower as there continues to be expectations of some very nice yields being reported by the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. And really, the weather, while it's going to be warmer, looks like it will not affect the crops adversely. And that pressured prices. Wheat lower due to lower MATIF wheat values and some strength in the dollar. New crop 25 corn down 4.25 to 432.75. New crop 25 beans down 16.5 to 10.17. September wheat down 8.75.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op. Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And And thanks for staying with us here on AOA, Agriculture of America. Great conversation there with South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson. A lot of different issues, no doubt, that are still out there that we have to watch throughout agriculture. Hopefully we can get something moving on this farm bill as we get into September and after the election. I know that's going to be a big, big thing to watch here in the next several weeks ahead. Coming up next week, too, I should mention this real quick. We're going to be, of course, at the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa, and we're going to be broadcasting AOA Live all 3 days of the show. On Tuesday, we'll be with AGI in booth 1034. On Wednesday, we'll be with BASF in booth 750, and then we'll be with Corteva Pioneer on Thursday during the Farm Progress Show in booth 634. Really looking forward to the show this year. It's always fun when it's in Iowa. It's in my backyard where I grew up, just south of where I grew up. So always fun to go there and reconnect with folks. Looking forward to being there and talking with our friends at AGI, BASF, and Corteva Pioneer coming up next week here on Agriculture of America. Well, I know just a few weeks ago, the American Coalition for Ethanol Conference was held in Omaha, Nebraska. It looked like a real great event with a lot of issues talked about and more. Joining us for a recap of that, Ron Lamberti, Chief Marketing Officer for American Coalition for Ethanol. Ron, how are you, sir? It's good to talk with you again.
I'm rested up. We had a big week last week, so I'm trying to do as little as possible this week, but it was a great week. We had a lot of people there, covered a lot of topics, and you know, people get to find out what we're working on and what people in the industry are working on, and we get to find out what they want more information about or what they want us to work on as far as, you know, legislation, marketing, whatever it is. But it's always fun to get together with people one on one and, you know, have those conversations. So those events are always good, but man, when they're done, it's kind of nice.
I hear you there.
A lot of planning goes into it, and I'm not even the guy who has to do most of the planning, but it's nice to have some time off afterwards.
Yeah, I hear you there, and that'll be me running around the Farm Progress Show next week. Events are always a lot of work, and you're ready for some relaxing afterwards. Well, yeah. I'm glad to hear you're resting up, and as we think about the event here, I know you guys had USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack there, for instance, and a lot of you mentioned a lot of things talked about with folks. Talk about some of the big highlights for you. What did you take away from this year's conference?
Well, I mean, Secretary Vilsack obviously was the highlight. And, you know, we've been working with USDA more and more the last few years with this Rural Conservation Partnership Program that we're doing, RCPP, where we've got 13 plants in 10 different states, where we've got the farmers who supply them adopting some different practices so that we can track them and have data that's verified by land grant colleges. And then when it comes time for, you know, all these carbon intensity numbers that the world is hanging their hat on, we can have verifiable arm's length data that that hopefully is going to put money in the farmers' pockets and ethanol plants' pockets, because we can verify that our fuel is as clean as we know it is. And, you know, in a world where you got to compete with the assumptions made about electric vehicles, it'd be nice to have, you know, science that, you know, we all know about, because we know what farmers are doing. And there's this this gap between what, you know, agencies like EPA and especially, you know, environmentalists out there think farmers are doing, and we'll be able to do some of those things and also test some of those theories that are out there. It might be just as valuable as we're doing this stuff to find out that maybe some of the things that they want farmers to do aren't going to work as well as they think on a, you know, maybe a little more northern climate, cover crops don't work, you know, not maybe, but, you know, there, or maybe there's a different thing they can do. But all of that program, I mean, we got a $25 million grant from USDA to do that, plus we'd already had money for the first plant that did it, and most of that's going to farmers to adopt practices. And we've had three times as much interest in the from farmers as far as acres they're talking about than USDA has given to us. But USDA is very interested in it, as evidenced by the fact that Secretary Vilsack made a trip out here, out to Omaha, just to talk to our people and, you know, tell them things that were going on, but to talk about that program and how valuable it's going to be for farmers as we implement it. So that was surely the highlight. But we did, you know, we also had the fun stuff like getting accountants to talk about how Treasury is handling these different, you know, 40B and 45Z and all these kind of different credits that impact the industry. And then on my part, I always deal with the, you know, we have fuel marketers and people who help fuel marketers sell the fuel on the end. And then, you know, a lot of other topics in between, and we give away a few awards and, you know, have some receptions. But I think obviously Vilsack was the highlight, and, you know, he took a lot of questions from the audience. It was and then before the thing, he met with a group of the farmers who were working on the RCPP program. So it was, that was great to have him there. And I know that was, a lot of work logistically to set it up for our event. So I'm glad, you know, like I said, other people did that. But,
definitely. Good to hear that he had a lot of time for questions and a good discussion, because I think, you know, in terms, you mentioned quite a few things there, Ron, but in terms of, sustainable aviation fuel and these tax credits and the 45Z, for instance, it feels like the ethanol, biofuel, renewable fuel industry is, and agriculture is waiting for this. We're waiting on pins and needles. We'd like to see the guidance now, not January. And so I know that's an issue. We've had other issues in the courts surrounding the RFS as of late, things like that. Sure. So, I mean, there's a lot here that it feels like the industry is really just kind of waiting on and watching as this all kind of evolves and develops right now.
Yeah, the tough part is, if you're an ethanol plant, you got to decide, you know, what do I invest my time and money on? Because is this going to be real? There's times when you get the impression that, yeah, there's this great program out there, but there's folks working to box out corn ethanol. And for no other reason than they hear the term corn ethanol and don't know enough about it to know that it's, you know, much cleaner than some of the, people who are trying to advocate for other things make it, because it's, you know, head to head, it's tough to beat corn ethanol as a clean fuel. And so then, you know, they talk about it as a fuel and say, well, yeah, but an electric car has zero tailpipe emissions, not talking about electricity. But then they say, well, yeah, what about corn farming? Because they have this cartoonish view, you know, people on the coast have a cartoonish view about what farmers do for a living. And so, you know, this program that we're working with farmers on is just by the interest in it tells you that not only are they not doing that, but they're looking at being able to find a way to do it better, because that's what they always do. I mean, that's, if you're a farmer, you don't make money by ruining your land. You know, that's like a restaurant guy burning down part of his restaurant every day. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. And so, you know, if we can have, you know, if it's the ethanol industry giving you the numbers, maybe they won't trust them. So we've got this program that we put together where it's, you know, South Dakota State and Purdue and a couple other schools and Scandia National Labs doing the math on all of it. It's not us. It's other people who are, you know, who are verifiable arm's length things. Because when we've had our members who've gone to people like CARB and say, hey, here's what our farmers are doing, they say, yeah, that's good. And we say, can we use that for our score? They go, no, we can't. We can't trust those numbers yet. So, in a world, and, you know, we're doing things all over the world now, everybody's interested in carbon scores. So we got to have data that we can put up there and say, here's what it is. If a farmer does this, this, and this, the corn should get this kind of score. There's always questions about that too. Who verifies it? How much, you know, how much is that going to be a hassle? And so, you know, we try and put that in such a way where you can say, you know, there's ways to track that, and there's easy ways and hard ways, and we're going to try both of them for a while. But you can't just stand still. You can't. You got to make some choices, and that does make it tough when the folks making the choices aren't making them. And then, you know, the other side of that is you hope that the people who are making it, if they don't know what they're talking about, that they know they don't know, because that's where USDA gets so involved in this, where they've got to spend a lot of time with Treasury talking about, no, this thing that you're doing right now, that's not going to work. Or here's the best way to get farmers to do the things that you think you want them to do. So it's helpful that it seems like, and I don't deal with these guys on a regular basis, but it seems like Treasury's taking their time because they're not sure. That's in the end, that's probably better than making a bad decision quickly. So, you know, but you're right. It's there's a lot of stuff that's unknown out there. And, you know, plants just keep trying to get more efficient, because in the end, most of the member plants, and probably all of the member plants that do well, they're not doing it to get tax credits. They're doing it to make, you know, find out a way to make better fuel at a lower cost. And if they do that, they're going to probably lower their carbon intensity.
Yeah, good thoughts, no doubt. We're up against the clock. Appreciate the conversation and the recap of the conference. I know folks can find more details, ethanol.org. Ron Lamberti, Chief Marketing Officer for American Coalition for Ethanol. Ron, good to talk with you again, and we'll look forward to chatting again in the future.
We'll do it. Thanks.
All right, coming up next, the latest on the Canadian rail strike and the potential impacts to Canadian agriculture and U.S. agriculture. We'll talk with Sean Haney from Real Ag Radio next on AOA.
O'Reilly. Need a little help? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Need advice? We've got advice. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Exceptional customer service. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is the story of the one. As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Grainger. Grainger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy to find what he needs. Because when it comes to safety, having answers means he and his people can breathe a little easier. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the famous footwear that makes us actually want to go back to school, with the newest styles from all your favorite brands like Nike, Adidas, Crocs, Converse, New Balance, Birkenstock, and more. You'll find everything kids want, all at prices parents can appreciate, because you don't have to overspend to make it famous. Famous Footwear even has fit experts in store to make sure you get the right size every time. So for the perfect fit, make it famous. Plus, right now, buy one, get one half off when you shop your local Famous Footwear or famous.com. Some exclusions apply.
Lowe's knows Labor Day calls for big savings. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, save up to $750 when you buy two or more select major appliances priced $396 or more. And don't miss out on three bags of premium 2-cubic-foot color mulch for just $10. Shop these can't-miss deals before they're gone, because Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 9/4. While supplies last, mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Every Tuesday, we're sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS, where we'll be talking with folks from throughout the cooperative system. Join us as we discover what makes cooperatives unique when there are more options to do business than ever before. We'll learn how farmers and ranchers like you benefit from a system where decisions are made by the members that own it. Tune in every Tuesday for Around the Table, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Hey y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. Being from Oklahoma, I know a thing or two about natural disasters. Tornadoes are common where I'm from and have affected my life and the lives of people I care about. No matter where you live, be aware of the dangers in your area and have a plan. You can create an emergency kit, come up with an evacuation plan, and know where to seek shelter. You never know when a disaster may hit. These simple steps can help save a life. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer
hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whenever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to OLI.org.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, we've been talking about the potential of a Canadian rail strike here for several weeks now. And as of midnight on Thursday morning, Canadian Pacific Kansas City and Canadian National have officially locked out some 9,000 employees, I believe. What is the latest going on with this situation? We want to talk about it. Joining us now to share details, he's the host of Real Ag Radio on Sirius XM 147. Sean Haney is with us here today. Sean, thanks so much for joining us. And I mean, this is just an unprecedented, tough situation going on with railroads in Canada right now, isn't it?
Yeah, Jesse, absolutely. You know, a lot of times we overuse words, and unprecedented sometimes is one of those, like, oh, this situation's unprecedented. Well, in this case, it's probably an understatement. This is something that has never happened in the country of Canada. Both national railways, as you mentioned, both stopped as of midnight on August 22nd. No trains moving. So it is a quiet country. And for a country that is so geographically large, similar to the United States, rail is an important component of a lot of goods going in and out of the country. This is going to take its toll very, very quickly on a lot of things, not just in agriculture, but also for just Canadians in general.
Very true. And we'll talk about that in a second. I want to get a little background from you. From what I understand, there's been a lot of negotiating going on with the TCRC, the Teamsters Canada Rail Conference, and trying to figure out a new contract. And I know things have gotten a little contentious. What can you share as far as details there?
Yeah, the gap is big. It's when you read some of the press releases from the union as well as from the railways, you know, they both mention this gap. And it's not necessarily about hourly pay. A lot of this is about scheduling and days off and safety and things like that. CN has been very communicative when it comes to, hey, putting numbers on the board. Here's what engineers make. What do you think about this? Almost kind of trying to sway Canadians in their direction for sure. Farm groups and actually the railways. CN has been putting a bunch of stuff on social media the past 2 days, pushing for binding arbitration. And I think that's, you know, that seems to be from that side of the equation, industry groups as well as the railways. That seems to be the real quick way to a conclusion on this strike. It also shows that I think the railways think they have negotiating leverage when it comes, if there was to actually be binding arbitration put in place. But the Labor Minister for Canada, Minister McKinnon, said last Friday that he would not force the two sides into binding arbitration. And so we have a situation where the Liberals are definitely trying to regain some of the popularity as the current government, and the unions are a path to that. So they are going to slow play this. And it seems that even though there's significant consequences to the Canadian economy, the votes are more important.
Well, and I noticed you had an opinion piece on realagriculture.com as well, talking about this and talking about how it seems like a lot of folks are comfortable with this strike happening and this lockout happening. I mean, it's a very interesting situation. And I know from the U.S. side, there have been a lot of ag groups that have been kind of sounding the alarm bells because that cross-border trade between the two countries is so intertwined and interlinked that depending on how long this goes for, this could be pretty substantial here for ag trade specifically, but a lot of other areas as well, Sean.
Yeah, well, Quorum, who is an analyst in the area of railways and their efficiency and productivity, said that a one-week strike, it will take 14 weeks to get back up to full capacity. It's not just like this valve that you turn on and off and, hey, we're back. This is something that takes a long time to ramp down and ramp back up. There's big consequences here on the U.S. side of the border, and I think that's one of the paths to solution for the Canadian government to actually act. I think one of the, if you think back to, remember when the Ambassador Bridge in Windsor was blocked during some of the blockades during the pandemic? Well, one of the reasons the Canadian government actually finally took action to clear that bridge was the White House calling the Prime Minister's office and saying, fix it. And I think that's one of the things that's going to take in this situation as well. You think about corn coming north into Canada. You think about Canada being the largest purchaser of U.S. ethanol as examples. I heard on some financial news networks in the U.S. this morning, people talking about, you know, insulin made in Canada.
Yeah.
U.S. gas prices, 100,000 barrels a day of oil come out of Canada into the U.S. This is going to have big impacts. I know NCGA sent out a release earlier this week. I actually ran to Kent Backus with NCBA yesterday. They are concerned at NCBA about some of the ramifications of this strike. We're into day one. Let's hope that this gets fixed very, very quickly.
Very true. And I've talked with folks with the American Farm Bureau as well. They are sounding the alarm bells. They are very concerned about this. And that's just one of many. The NGFA, the National Grain and Feed Association, of course, as well. And I think about this, too, with where we're at in the calendar, Sean. If this extends out, you know, for a while, we got spring wheat harvest. You mentioned some of the commodities that move back and forth. But I think about spring wheat in the Northern Plains that's got to, you know, a lot of times go up through Canada to get to the PNW ports. That's going to be an issue. But another thing, too, I think about is, you know, I'm spending time in Northern Iowa this week. I remember as a kid seeing all the potash trains coming down through my small town. The amount of potash that moves out of Canada into the U.S. here during the fall season specifically, that could be huge for the fertilizer market as well, Sean.
I'm sitting right now in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan at the Canadian Beef Industry Conference, and Saskatchewan is the world's largest producer of potash. And one of the biggest markets for that potash is the United States. And so I agree very, very much with you, Jesse, that is one of the big impacts indeed. You know, one of the other things that I'm hearing a lot from farmers is anhydrous ammonia. You know, you think about the fall season, that's when that's being applied for fall fertilization. They haven't been moving anhydrous ammonia for like 10 days because they didn't want it to be stranded and have the liability of storage, right? So that's, again, the slow ramp down when it comes to some of the rail capacity. The whole thing here is that I think rail service is one of those things we take for granted. Like we sort of see the trains move and we don't think of it. You know, think back to when there were supply crunches when it came to the pandemic and people were loading up on toilet paper and stuff. All of a sudden, you were talking about it. I was talking about it. Supply chains were just the thing that we all of a sudden were like, oh yeah, these things do come from all over the place. Well, when you have countries the size of Canada and the United States, rail is a very valuable option from a price perspective to get goods from one place to another. And when all of a sudden, when you don't have the rail service, I think we're going to have a greater appreciation for the underbelly that the railway is for our economy. And it's grinding to a halt, man.
Well, we appreciate the time. We'll watch it closely. With that, Sean Haney with Real Ag Radio. Sean, thanks for joining us here today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jesse. Really appreciate it.
We're out of time on AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that we can give our daughters everything they need to grow and learn. But not every child can focus on classes and play dates.
Nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. face hunger. That's one in...
Point!
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Ugh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you...